John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drum?
Now the N is for knots, oh no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Monday, July 9th, 2012. Illegal settler activity continues near Bethlehem, and two Israeli policemen were sent to jail for negligence. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. In the Bethlehem area, in two separate incidents, settlers attacked a man and illegally confiscated Palestinian land. Ma'an News Agency reported that five teenage settlers, around 16 years old, attacked Ibrahim Khalil Sabarna near the city of Bethlehem. Sabarna, 35, is a resident of the nearby town of Beit Umar. Mohammed Ayad, media spokesperson of the Popular Committee Against the Wall in Beit Umar, stated Sabarna was returning from Bethlehem at approximately 7 a.m. when he was attacked. The settlers hurled stones at him as he drove his car. Ayad added that Israeli policemen were present in the area but did not attempt to stop the settlers. Israeli settlers also seized five dunams of land belonging to 67-year-old Ali Hader Issa from Al-Hader village, south of Bethlehem, in a continuation of illegal land grabs in the area. The Palestinian owner was told that the five dunams now belong to Israel and that he is forbidden from accessing or working on his land. In Hebron, Governor Kamal Hemed was prevented from traveling to visit a family in the village of Imnezil, in the southern part of his district, by the Israeli military on Monday, according to Ma'an News. Governor Hemed explained that the reason he was given by Israeli forces was that he needed to apply for permission from the civil administration, the Israeli military department that regulates the occupied West Bank. In related news, Akram al-Rikhawi, who has now been on hunger strike for 91 days, is unable to move his left leg and is at risk of dying, his lawyer and doctor both reported on Monday. Al-Rikhawi, who is married with eight children, was sentenced to 9 years in prison by an Israeli military tribunal after being stopped by Israeli military forces near Rafah in 2004. Since being imprisoned, he has been denied access to his medication, which has led to severe health complications. And finally, on Monday, the Israeli District Court in occupied Jerusalem sentenced two Israeli policemen to only 30 months imprisonment, despite the fact that they left a wounded Palestinian man to die on the side of the road near the central West Bank city of Ramallah. Two policemen were convicted of causing the death of Amar Abu Jariban from the Gaza Strip 4 years ago, leaving him on the road between Afar Prison and Attara roadblock, despite his medical condition. He was later found dead on June 15, 2008, by an Israeli driving in the area. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Monday, July 9th Daily News Roundup from the Occupied Palestinian Territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hussam Kassis and me, Kelly Joyner.
Every month, a select group of staff from congressional intelligence committees travel to CIA headquarters to watch classified videos of drone strikes in Pakistan and Yemen. With high-level security clearances, congressional staffers have viewed images of Hellfire missiles smashing into buildings and vehicles associated with suspected terrorists. Top committee staff have access to classified material, including telephone intercepts and CIA assessment reports of each drone strike. According to the Los Angeles Times, increased oversight of the drone program is the result of requests by California Senator Dianne Feinstein, chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Pakistani officials continue to complain that drone strikes are killing dozens of innocent civilians. Brigadier General Abdullah Dogar, a defense attaché at the Pakistan Embassy in Washington, D.C., points to an incident on March 17, 2011, that killed 45 civilians, including members of a tribal council. The Washington, D.C.-based New America Foundation says that at least 471 civilians were killed in U.S. drone attacks since 2004, but congressional staffers assert that the number of casualties in Pakistan is not reliable. Dissent is now beginning to surface in Congress over so-called signature strikes, in which the U.S. uses drones to attack armed men who intelligence analysts say fit a pattern of behavior that indicates they are involved in terrorist activities. While the Obama administration has curbed signature drone strikes in Pakistan, the CIA has been given the green light to carry out such attacks in Yemen, home to al-Qaeda's most active affiliate. 26 members of Congress signed a letter to President Obama in June, complaining the U.S. drone campaign has virtually no transparency, accountability, or oversight.
Afghanistan, 8th of July. Six American soldiers were killed by a roadside bomb in eastern Afghanistan. Afghanistan, 8th of July. NATO is reporting the death of a soldier of unspecified nationality from another insurgent attack in an undisclosed location in southern Afghanistan. Afghanistan, 7th of July. NATO is reporting the death of a soldier of unspecified nationality from an IED explosion in an undisclosed location in southern Afghanistan. Afghanistan, 6th of July. NATO is reporting the death of a soldier of unspecified nationality from a non-combat related injury in an undisclosed location in southern Afghanistan. Is this another GI suicide? Or yet another electrocution in an unsafe shower? NATO reports traffic crashes separately. Afghanistan, ongoing. Gun camera footage has emerged from an American helicopter gunship crew in which the crew sing American Pie into the radio just before the missiles strike Afghans on a road in what appears to be a residential neighborhood. Here's what the radio sounded like, with the flight time of the missiles shortened for broadcast reasons.
Stewart, Rock, Mexican. Just confirming. We are inbound with Hellfire at this time. Roger, we're watching from here.
And I have Steve in sight. Missiles away.
Bye-bye, Miss American.
Nice.
Mexican short dog, roger. The guys picked up and ran to the west side of the road. We see movement in the spot where you lit.
Copy. We're rolling to ground. Inbound 30 millimeter on that. Those individuals
remain slow and deliberate.
That was the sound from the radios of a helicopter gunship over Wardak Province, Afghanistan in 2009. It has been released on LiveLeak along with the gun camera video clearly showing houses on both sides of the road as the missiles hit the road with shrapnel spewing explosive warheads. Pakistan, 7th of July. At least 21 people were killed by two U.S. drone strikes in North Waziristan. Local Urdu TV channel Dunya reported that U.S. drones fired two missiles at an alleged militant hideout in Dadakel at about 9 p.m. local time, killing at least five people and destroying the house. Later, American drones shot four more missiles at the local rescue squad that killed 16 more people. Mr. Barack Obama, this war is degenerating even as you begin to pull U.S. troops out of Afghanistan. Now's the time to pull all the troops out, not wait through two more years of this until 2014.
And no amount of money you could give me, honey, couldn't pay me, ain't going back again.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. On the 28th of June, as temperatures began to rise in D.C., Metro riders and bus drivers gathered outside Metro's headquarters to denounce this year's massive fare hikes and benefit cuts. As an alternative to Metro's game of pitting riders against workers, both together demanded that taxes on businesses that benefit from Metro be used to cancel fare increases, wage cuts, and benefit cuts.
It's a tremendous generator of money and value in this city. We know all the real estate development,
doing, man?
All the Verizon centers, the national stadiums, FedEx stadium out in Landover generates a tremendous amount of money for businesses and developers throughout this region. But on the other hand, we know that these very same people who are making millions and billions of dollars off the metro system refuse to pay their fair share. They're trying through their efforts to force onto the backs of working people who ride the system a larger and larger share of the cost of operating it, and they're trying to force onto the backs of the workers who operate the system on a day-to-day basis, lower wages, cuts in pensions, higher costs for health insurance, so the rich in this city, the 1%, continue to line their pockets with wealth and money. And we're standing here today in solidarity with transit workers and solidarity with the riding public to say this process has to end. We have to fight for our fair share. We have to fight for lower fares and support the fight for a decent contract for transit workers which preserves their wages and benefit package, which they have been fighting for to maintain since 1917. So we cannot let the bosses get over on us. We have to stand up side by side and fight back.
That's right!
You heard that, D.C. Council. You heard that, Montgomery County. In Arlington and Fairfax County, Metro riders and workers aren't buying your game anymore. You can't play off riders against bus drivers and Metro train operators. You're gonna have to tax the rich that Metro has made rich. On the 28th of June, The Occupy caravan arrived in D.C. on the way to the Occupy convention in Philadelphia. Brand new tents were pitched on the Park Service's fancy new grass on the General Assembly lawn, the only part of McPherson Square not fenced off for landscaping. The cops showed up in a few hours, looking very unhappy to see that Occupy is back. The Anarchist Alliance DC Network has vowed to hold McPherson Square in an ongoing occupation under the slogan, "Restoring McPherson Square, the occupation will not move." That afternoon, all three groups marched to the United States Postal Service headquarters to support hunger-striking postal workers opposing a service reduction to 5 deliveries a week and massive job cuts. One person was detained but later released as protesters attempted to enter the United States Postal Service headquarters for a citizen's arrest of Postmaster General Donahoe.
We are here to make sure that our senior citizens living in rural America can have medications delivered on Saturday. Do you support that?
Yes!
We are here to make sure that low-income Americans who do not have internet service do still have a postal service to deliver their mortgage payments, to deliver their bill payments, to deliver their Social Security checks.
Medicine.
Do you support that?
Yes!
They're going to try to arrest Donahoe.
United, we'll never be defeated.
More swarming across. Was detained after getting behind police lines was released and gave this speech. I guess they didn't want to arrest him and get a lot of bad publicity for postal cutbacks and firing people.
I gotta see what kind of responses I get from the U.S. Attorney and the OIG and the Chief Postal Inspector. I'll write back to them. I've been writing to them since March. I'm just getting 4 months back.
5 day a week delivery, which will cost 80,000 jobs. We got a team for that. 5 days. No way. 5 days.
No way.
5 days.
No way.
5 days.
That evening, with a New York City contingent being present in the caravan, occupiers and anarchists marched first to the White House, then to the Martin Luther King Memorial, demanding an end to the New York Police Department's infamous stop and frisk racial profiling stops.
Stop and frisk, don't stop the crime. Stop and frisk, it is the crime. Stop and frisk, don't stop the crime. Stop and frisk, it is the crime.
Stop and frisk laws.
The stop and frisk laws.
Unfairly target.
Unfairly target.
The African American community.
The African American community.
Latino community.
And the Latino community.
And we say.
And we say.
No to racist laws.
No to racist laws.
No to racist laws.
In New York City.
More African Americans.
More African Americans.
We're stopped and searched.
We're stopped and searched.
Than actually live in New York City.
Than actually live in New York City.
Going on before the Park Police can engage. That night, a sleeping in a tent at McPherson would have exposed him to attack by armed Park Police. The occupation slept in front of the Bank of America across from the U.S. Treasury on the 15th Street side. If you can't sleep in the occupied tent in McPherson Square, why not sleep in front of Bank of America? The The following morning came the climax of 2 days of action. An 108-foot-long banner was used to block entry and delay the opening of Bank of America. Even after the banner was moved up to allow passage behind it, and even after the bank branch did open, few customers would approach. The banner was finally rolled up and hauled away at about 11:30 a.m., having been in place since 9 a.m. and successfully recovered by protesters.
A personal story
about how Bank of America
has affected my life.
Bank of America
is the number one funder
of the coal industry.
I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina.
We have four coal-fired power plants surrounding our city. We also have Bank of America's corporate headquarters.
We also have
the highest childhood asthma rates. I myself was born with asthma. But I was lucky. Because my two brothers
were in my mother's womb.
During a spill. They were born with scoliosis. They were stopped from growing for a full year.
Bank of America
is not only ruining this country financially,
but they are actually poisoning us.
Thank you.
A planned 2 p.m. march was canceled because of the extreme heat, which reached 104 degrees Fahrenheit. An anti-capitalist march originally planned for 5:30 p.m. was moved to sunset.
They stopped by
the American Legislative Exchange Council, BP, and Monsanto before marching off to Freedom Plaza, which has also been reoccupied. Just outside Freedom Plaza, one cop assaulted a protester, touching off a confrontation from which police eventually withdrew. On the pigs and make them retreat to their vehicles. Could be calling backup or bringing weapons out.
Assault!
I didn't see exactly what he did. What exactly did he do?
I didn't hear you, I'm turning off.
Who do you serve?
Yeah, I better run. We don't want people getting your tag numbers if you assaulted somebody. There are still laws in this town. The caravan may have moved on to the Occupy convention in Philly over the 4th of July, but the reoccupation of McPherson Square continues. The Anarchist Alliance DC Network calls this Restoring McPherson Square. The occupation will not move. On the 4th of July, the United States Marijuana Party and many other organizations advocating legalization of marijuana, full legalization of marijuana, as well as medical marijuana advocates, gathered in Lafayette Park for the 43rd annual Marijuana Smoke-In. The event has survived September 11th and everything else. The biggest problem now is checkpoints set up down in the mall on the route to the concert, which is always had after the pot smoking, has been going on at least back to 1983.
Mr. Obama, we're here. We're right across the street from you. We're asking you to look at it. I mean, you did it, dude. I mean, you smoked pot. I mean, you smoked pot just like we smoked pot.
It is a felony, and
second conviction in D.C.
that in front of Eric Holder when he was our Attorney General of the District of Columbia about 10 years ago. They were trying to make your first conviction for marijuana a felony in Washington, D.C. about 10 years ago, and I was able to persuade our city council that they would be jeopardizing the future of many young citizens by adding that stigma as a criminal to their young lives.
Free the weed! Free the weed! Free the weed! Free the weed!
The march proceeded down the time-honored route down 17th Street and then west on Constitution Avenue to the concert site on a mall near 23rd Street. Of course, ever since 2002, those who want to attend a concert have had to pass through bag search checkpoints. 4th of July, the Mall Fireworks, Washington, D.C. This is the marijuana march coming in on the Give Up Your Fourth Amendment Rights search checkpoint. For the concert site, it's been here since the 70s. It's inside the zone the government put checkpoints on. I'm sure this is no accident. It would have been no more fence line to cut the checkpoints short, run them down from here to Lincoln Memorial. It would have been no extra burden on the Park Service. But by setting your checkpoints here, they get to search people on their way to the marijuana concert. There's a lot of history associated with this event and a number of official attacks. It was, I believe it was in 1970 or 71 that they had to march through the reflecting pool to bypass the National Guard. In 1984, you had James Watt trying to ban rock music on the mall at the request of Ronald Reagan. In 1983, the Lyndon LaRouche people somehow got their hands on the permit for Lafayette Park. Ever since then, this permit's been applied for a year in advance. During the mid-80s, there were some major battles fought both in Lafayette Park and on the mall near 23rd Street at the concert site when police tried to arrest people for smoking marijuana or just for refusing to allow their coolers to be searched. The checkpoints are not the first official attack on the marijuana legalization march and concert, but I hope they'll be the last, and I hope these checkpoints at the 4th of July are discontinued soon. What a way to celebrate so-called American freedom, passing through a bag search checkpoint to watch fireworks.
Well, DNA, it's natural, it's the building block of life. And when the good Lord put it together, you know, I think he did it upright. He made lots of different organisms, a complex web of life. Each one dependent on another, and so the circle, it closed up tight. But then along came a man and a microscope, and he separated the genes. And when he put them all back together, he made lots of strange, unnatural things. And now food crops grow on the ocean floor, cows, they grow on trees. Now the ranchers gaze while their oysters graze on grass that depends on a hormone spray in our genetically modified world.
Sizing McDonald's.
A Big Mac counterattack. Organic fanatics are sick of being stabbed in the back with clown fat, so we get fat with the beat, not with the meat. And we fight right back with fat funk against this fast food junk. A propaganda pumping punks calling it food. I think they're confused. A killer sweet treat to see, let loose a few. For a fast food attitude, mad cow, cash cop mentality. Growing instant gratification, sowing seeds of slavery. It's happening up the pace of the lab rat race. The soma coma kamikaze selling pig fat as milkshakes. Border slaughter trauma, sick cows line mass graves. Serve you up a dead planet on the skin bones of slaves. Serve you up a dead planet on the skin bones of slaves.
Mass production, mass society. Everything the same, junk food, crap jobs.
The high fat intake, the high animal protein intake, the lack of these other things lead into the kind of diseases that actually kill 3/4 of us in Western societies before our time.
Yeah, this Ronnie Mac heart attack packed is manufacturing distracting plastic.
plastic package, false facts, hormone pump, disease, dumb cow pus and clown fat.
Yum.
Got truth trembling on the corporate water torture rack. Would you like lies with that? Or fries with beef fat? What about terrified cries of forests falling for Big Mac? Genetically modified alibis for the starving poor. Third world food stolen from Mac's first world exports. Straight to your first world first class. Neoliberal sat on a fat ass. Free market disaster task. I gotta ask, how much land did you steal for that happy meal? Yeah, it's a crappy deal when you see the lives it killed.
Third world debt.
Yeah, it's a crappy deal when you see the lives it killed.
These are the most important issues, I think, that any of us have to face living our ordinary lives.
Just destroying rainforests.
Without advertising, McDonald's wouldn't exist. It's all image. And, you know, if you can get behind that and expose the reality of the corporation, then, you know, there's nothing left.
Just destroying rainforests.
Deep-fried lies for another colonized genocide attempt. Fat corporate cartel bent on monoculture, madness of mayhem to rupture the structure of diversity. Its heresy embarrasses me, the golden arch glory of modern humanity. The greasy green feast of fearful disease meat, turning animals into cannibals and humans into sheep. You're being cloned like robots in a war machine factory, cause they're harvesting lies like they be harvesting wheat. Overworked employer, exploited, underpaid. The youth of today being waylaid into early graves. By fat corporate cats, deep-fried desires, health bars and death bars upsize. Dissolving, remolding their lives in animal fat. It's a cannibal act, a criminal fact. The capital pact is stabbing you in the back, yeah. Deep-fried in animal fat, it's a cannibal act. The capital pact is stabbing you in the back with a criminal fact. Golden arch, idealistic, satanic, earth demolition religion. Your monoculture style is genocide. Full-scale culture assaulter like a Christian mission. Your mindshare warfare is totalitarian tunnel vision. Your mindshare warfare is totalitarian tunnel vision. It's mindfucker tucker terrorism.
Mindfucker tucker terrorism.
Research shows that the golden arches are now more recognized than the Christian cross.
Yeah, I ain't bowing down to no pedophile clown. No raping the minds of children, turning smiles to frowns. So we shouting out loud with our stereo sound. Bring the whole fat evil Mac empire down.
Criticizing McDonald's.
Pepco must be controlled by climate change deniers. For the past 10 years, as evidence of global climate change began to pile up, Pepco has reduced their workforce of linemen, those who go up to poles and fix the wires, by half. They admitted this in an interview with WUSA, TV9 News, the interview Pepco walked out on. Pepco has more customers now than it did 10 years ago. Climate change means more and worse storms, yet Pepco has cut their repair workers' jobs. Is it any wonder people get to sit in the heat while all their food rots in a refrigerator?
50 million years ago, we walked upon the planet, so out of all that you could see, just a little bit like me, walking in your footsteps, walking in your footsteps.
Until 3 years ago, we never saw massive, multi-day power outages in the D.C. area, except from Hurricane Belle in 1973, Hurricane Isabel in 2003, 30 years later, and a 1999 ice storm. Now we've had 3 summers in a row featuring major power outages, and 2010 had them in the winter too from the blizzards. First 2010 blizzards turned out the lights for days on end. That same year, 2010, featured incredible heat in mid-July, followed by violent thunderstorms ending in power outages of nearly a week. Sound familiar? The next year came Hurricane Irene and another round of power outages. Meanwhile, Pepco has got a reputation for power failures at random times. Finally, June 29th's 104-degree heat spawned the Derrico storms. Again, even after 3 rounds of outages, Pepco's half-sized workforce meant repairs took twice as long until crews could be flown in from places as far away as Canada. Had Pepco not reduced their workforce, twice as many people would have had their electricity turned back on June 30th and July 1st, before most out-of-area crews arrived. Pepco has, by their practice of reducing jobs, been denying both climate change and regional growth. Pepco is continuing to buy half their electricity from coal-fired power plants, and part of that from power plants burning mountaintop removal coal is also a form of climate change denial. It looks like we're in for a perfect storm of trouble as climate change and budget cuts hit us at the same time. Local weather is controlled by the jet stream winds, which act like a fire hose that has been turned on and dropped. Global climate change at levels that are hard to measure can increase energy in the jet stream, like putting more pressure in that fire hose. The result is more extreme weather of all types, even as utilities rot from budget cuts. In years to come, electrical power will become unreliable as what used to be 10-year storms will become normal weather events. With electrical power becoming unreliable and oil becoming ever more expensive, the Great Recession could well become permanent, thus reducing coal and oil consumption and carbon dioxide emissions, but maybe too late. Still think we aren't part of Earth's natural cycles and stand above them instead? In the end, this is the sort of thing that brings empires and civilizations to their knees. With enough coal and oil consumption, today's children will literally inherit the wind.
Is a form of natural gas drilling, an alternative to oil, cause the oil kept spilling, bringing jobs to small towns, so everybody's willing. People turn on the lights and the drillers make a killing.
Water goes into the pipe into the ground. The pressure creates fissures 7,000 feet down. The cracks release the gas that powers your town. That well is fracked, yeah, totally fracked.
But there's more in the water than just H2O. Toxic chemicals help to make the fluid flow. With names like benzene and formaldehyde, you better keep them far away from the water supply.
The drillers say the fissures are a mile below the groundwater pumped into American homes, but don't tell it to the residents of Subway, oh, that water's fracked. We're talking benzene.
What the fuck is going on with all this fracking going on? I think we need some facts to come to light. I know we want our energy, but nothing ever comes for free. I think my water's on fire tonight.
So it all goes back to 2005. Bush said gas drillers didn't have to comply with the Safe Drinking Water Act before too long. It was frack, baby, frack until the break of dawn.
With the EPA out, it was up to the states, but they didn't have the money to investigate. Sick people couldn't prove fracking was to blame, all the while water wells were going up in flames.
Cause it's hard to contain all the methane released. It can get into the air, it can get into the streams. It's a greenhouse gas worse than CO2. Fracking done wrong could lead to climate change too.
Now it's not that drillers should never be fracking, but the current regulation is severely lacking. Reduce the toxins contain the gas and wastewater, and the people will get sick, and the planet will get hotter, 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 hotter.
What the frack is going on with all this fracking going on? I think we need some facts to come to light. I know we want our energy, but nothing ever comes for free. I think my wallet's on fire tonight.
For all you 1%ers out there who think Occupy means rats, maybe you would prefer the way Greek anarchists fight against austerity? On or about the 27th of June, armed fighters rammed a van loaded with gasoline cans into Microsoft's headquarters in Greece. When security guards tried to intervene, they were chased away with pistols and an automatic weapon. Then the gas cans were ignited. The fire destroyed the van and did enough damage to the building to shut it down. The damage to Microsoft's headquarters was estimated at $75,000 equivalent in euros. The IMF and German bankers have been trying to ram an austerity program that looks like a caricature of the GOP's Ryan budget down Greek throats. It even includes taxes on minimum wage earners, as well as wholesale firings of public sector workers and wage cuts for private sector workers. Why on earth should a government balanced budget plan impose wage cuts on people who don't even work for the government? Those cuts will reduce tax collections by making the Great Recession worse in Greece. And even some of the 1%ers are beginning to admit that the so-called bailout for Greece will never work.
No more lights, blood fire. No more lights.